Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I invite you to stay tuned, to be educated, motivated, and inspired, but never manipulated. This program is about the Word of God, and it's free. There's nothing to sell. We give away information and hopefully accurate biblical information that will help you make good decisions every day in your life based on what the Bible says. This is not a religious show. I don't believe in organized religion. I think most of that is ritual without reality, and it's meaningless. But I do believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ, God's only anointed Son, it's the greatest decision that you could ever make. It's the greatest decision ever made in the history of the world. There's a motto that I often say when I'm talking to students across the United States as I speak in schools, and that is that bad decisions limit future options. If you make enough bad decisions, you do not have any options left. This program is about how to give you accurate biblical information that will help you to make decisions in your life every day so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. I hope you'll stay tuned for the next few minutes and listen as we talk about things that will be very pertinent in our society today. I'm recording this show on the 31st of August in the year 2005. This is immediately after the natural disaster that has struck Biloxi, Mississippi, Gulfport, Mississippi, Pass Christian, New Orleans, all points south. One of the greatest natural disasters that has ever hit the United States. It is unbelievable what is taking place currently, even as I speak this morning. There will be many, many people found dead. The amount will be staggering. The financial losses are overwhelming. There will be insurance bankruptcy that cannot afford to pay the total losses that will be there. Even as we speak today, there are thousands of people being bussed out of the New Orleans Superdome to the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. The United States Army, the Navy, the National Guard have all been mobilized to help these displaced victims. Tremendous natural disaster. All the way from the Mississippi coast up to as far as Jackson, Mississippi, people are without power. People have no ice, no air, no electricity, no way to buy food, no way to buy gas. The bank tellers are not working. Cash is in short supply. And people are being mobilized to try and go and help. And will they recover? I assume they will. But in the process, there will be tremendous anarchy. Anarchy is freedom without authority. Tyranny is authority without freedom. Right now there is anarchy in the great city of New Orleans. There's looting, robbing, bands of marauders roving the interstates, trying to hijack cars to get out, steal, plunder. Police have declared martial law. This is a disaster that is unparalleled in the history of the United States. Millions of dollars gone. Casinos blown away on the Mississippi coast. Old stately homes gone, flattened. Hundreds of dead people that have yet to be discovered. And oftentimes in the middle of a crisis like this, people ask the question, why God? Why God did you let this happen? I don't know if you've asked that question, but I often hear it. I have been speaking in schools for over 30 years, and I have been warning teenagers constantly, take your spiritual life seriously. You must take your spiritual life seriously. And I want to reiterate that same warning to you this day as you're listening to me. You live in the greatest nation in the world. There is no doubt that God has prospered and blessed us beyond our wildest imagination. We are the richest nation in the world. And yet now twice in the last few years, we've seen natural disaster that is unparalleled in our history. Yes, maybe Pearl Harbor might have compared with what happened at the World Trade Center. But from the World Trade Center to even now, this disaster on the Mississippi coast. And this is not the first one to strike that area. Florida has been pounded with hurricane after hurricane in the last few years. Millions and millions of dollars lost in revenue, homes, lives, and it continues. Why, God? Why do these sort of things happen to a nation like us? Maybe these are questions that you'd like to have answered, and I will do my very best today to try to give you an answer. One of the simplest things that I can tell you is to read the Word of God to you. Read from the Bible certain things. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not here to scare you. I'm just here to simply give you some accurate information in regards to why things like this happen. We are today what the Bible calls a client nation or a priest nation to God. It simply means that at any period in history, somewhere in the world, God has a nation that represents Him. The Bible says in Exodus 19:6, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you, Moses, shall speak unto the children of Israel." You see, a priest nation is God's repository on earth for His word. It's a nation that distributes and disseminates the word of God. In a priest nation, the gospel of Jesus Christ is freely communicated, and biblical information is widely taught. Missionaries are sent to carry the word of God to areas of positive volition throughout the whole world. And that's America. That's what we are. We are a priest nation. We are not anti-Semitic. We're pro-Semitic. That means we are not against the Jew. We support the Jew, God's chosen people. Now listen, when the northern and southern kingdom of Israel were destroyed under the five cycles of discipline clearly taught in the book of Leviticus, and I'll mention that to you today and I'll try to tell you what that is. When these nations went out, God raised up other priest nations to represent Him. Where did it move? Where did it go after the Roman Empire was sacked, after Rome was destroyed? What happened? How did the word of God continue to go forth after the nation Israel was destroyed? What happened? Where did it go? With the decline of the British Empire, the United States became the custodian of the word of God. And the United States has been directly and remarkably blessed by the Lord for years. But tragically, as a nation, we have become so involved in self-righteousness and our own good works, and so bound up in our own evil human solutions to world problems, so jaded by our own lack of information, that we, the United States of America, as a whole, have forgotten our spiritual heritage. We have forgotten the importance of personal, spiritual advance in our life. And we have ignored our opportunity and our responsibility to glorify Jesus Christ through the word of God that should be resident in our souls. And as a priest nation, I'm telling you, we are on our way out. We are about to go the course of history that other nations have gone before us. These things that we face and that we continue to see are warning signs from God. There are ways that God attempts to wake us up. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of your nation. I'm going to say that again. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of your nation. If you value your home, if you value your family, if you value the lives of your children and grandchildren, listen to what I'm telling you. God is not playing games. He has blessed you. He has prospered you. You have been advanced beyond any people in the history of the world, and yet you continue to ignore your God. I'm telling you, He demands your attention. And these sort of natural disasters do get your attention. Now, you can blame God and say, this is not fair. Why would God let this happen to all of these good people? Or you can wake up and take a look around and say, you know, part of the problem is me. Because I have not been a responsible believer in Jesus Christ. I've been preoccupied with my own life. I've been preoccupied with my own prosperity, my own self, and I've ignored the mandates of God. And so today I want to try to remind you of these things. Sometimes God allows evil to run its course in the angelic conflict so that he can get our attention. So the basis of survival and prosperity for any priest nation, such as the United States of America, is the attitude of the believers in that nation towards the Word of God. No nation, not even the United States of America, can ever survive the disillusion of objective thinking. And no nation, no priest nation, can outlast its own rejection of the Word of God. The tragic and rapid decline of the United States of America can be reversed only, and I say only, if people like you, believers in Jesus Christ, return to your true national heritage, and that is the Word of God. To get serious about the Word of God, to take your spiritual life serious. And I don't mean that you start going to church and tithing and that you start singing Christian songs. That's not what I'm talking about. You will not even believe what the Bible says when I read it to you today. But if you want to know why a nation is destroyed, let me read to you from the great book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament. I'm reading to you from Hosea chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." He goes on to say, "Because there is no truth and no mercy and no knowledge of God in the land." Now, what is the controversy? The controversy is a court case. And what the writer basically says is that nothing of grace is applied and there is no knowledge of God in the land. Do we have a knowledge of God in the United States of America today? Most certainly we do, you would say. Is that correct? I would present to you there is a lot of ritual, but very little reality. I would present to you that many people today simply audit church. They don't really take it for credit. They're convenient Christians. They want a preacher to marry them, oh yes. And they want a preacher to bury them, oh yes. But the rest of the time, leave me alone, God. I'm very busy. And I will go to church, and I will show up, and I will play the game. That doesn't cut it as far as God's concerned. I hate to tell you, that just does not cut it. In Jeremiah 9:23, God said he's looking for people that not only know him, but understand him. So now listen as I read to you from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, of why a priest nation such as Israel and such as America today, why a priest nation would be destroyed or eliminated. Quoting now from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you, and you shall no longer be a priest to me. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget your children." Does that scare you? I will forget your children. Now, let's see, what was the problem? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Divine discipline destroys a nation. Divine discipline in this case comes because of lack of knowledge. The word chokmah is the Hebrew word. It means objective information about the Word of God. Now, this passage goes on to say, "You have rejected knowledge." Rejected. That's a Hebrew word called ma'as. M-A-A-S. Ma'as. And M-A-A-S can mean to cease flowing, like a creek that's dried up, and there's no more water in it. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'm out in the summer, and especially this time of the year in August, in the late summer, you can see a thunderstorm brewing on the horizon. You can see the clouds. You might even hear the thunder and see the lightning. And perhaps you can even see the wind blowing through the trees and feel it in your face. And you will tell yourself, you know, I'm fixing to get belted. It's fixing to storm. However, the storm goes around you and it doesn't rain. Maybe it just hits the other side of town and your lawn is dying because there's no water. But people on the other side of town, everything's green. And you wait on the next thunderstorm and it goes around you. I present to you that this is exactly what goes on in many churches today. And there is a lot of thunder. There is a lot of lightning. There is a lot of wind. There's very little rain. Rain is the watering of the Word of God. Until the Word of God comes raining out of the pulpits, nothing will grow. And you can go to a church and sing, and you can go to a church and clap, and you can go to a church and shout, but that is not how you grow. How you grow is to sit under the teaching of the Word of God by a qualified pastor who knows what he's talking about. A man who understands the Bible, even if possibly so, from the original languages of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And he can tell you precisely what God is saying to you. There is no knowledge of God in the land today. I would almost be willing to stand up and debate anybody about that. There's a lot of information, but very little application. There are a lot of people that know what the Bible says, but very few people who understand what they know. They know they're supposed to go to church. They know they're supposed to pray. They know they're supposed to give. They know they're supposed to treat their fellow man as first and foremost over their own selves, but they don't understand why. They don't understand the mechanics of this information. See, it's like you can know what a football game is about. You can know why there's offense and you know why there's defense, but maybe you don't understand why we run certain offenses or why we run certain defenses. You say, well, I don't have to. I'm not a football player. Yes, but you are a Christian. And you have to understand certain things or you're just going to go through ritual without reality. And if all you can do is repeat certain verses from rote memory, that's not getting anything done. You have to know why these verses are here. You have to understand. And so what's happening, it's just like this thunderstorm in many churches. A lot of thunder, oh yes. A lot of lightning, oh yes. A lot of wind, no rain. Nothing's growing. And that's why God says people are destroyed. There's no growth. There's no knowledge. There's no knowledge of God in the land. In the New Testament, this is seen as the word gnosis, being the Greek word for knowledge, or another word often used for knowledge is epignosis. Epi is a preposition meaning full knowledge. Knowledge that you hear, well, that's knowledge you objectively understand. Epignosis, that's knowledge that you apply into your life. See, it's one thing to go to church and hear someone teach the Word of God. It's another thing to walk out the door and put into practice what you heard taught. And so without epignosis, without the full knowledge of the Word of God, without the understanding of why these passages are here and what God is trying to tell you, and you're going to be destroyed. These things are going to continue to happen as natural disasters. Listen as I read out of Deuteronomy a warning that Moses wrote. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, and they will not regard the person of the old, nor show any favor to the young. There's a warning. Israel had to pay attention and heed God's warning there. You see, when a nation such as the United States of America, or even Israel, a client nation, a priest nation, a representative of God, when they go under divine discipline from God, terrible things happen. And it's all taught in the book of Leviticus under the five cycles of discipline. But listen as I read further in Deuteronomy. This is scary. This is absolutely unbelievable. It's cannibalism. Here it is in the Bible. And you will eat the fruit of your own body. It's Deuteronomy. I'm reading from chapter 28, verse 53. You will eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you in the siege and in the distress wherewith your enemies will put you. So that the man who is tender among you and very delicate, his eye will be evil towards his brother and towards the wife of his bosom and towards the remnant of his children whom he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat.
because he hath nothing left in him in the siege and in the distress.
You see, cannibalism is one of the signs of the fifth cycle of discipline. Did Israel actually do this? Yes, they did. Did they get so hungry that they ate their children? Yes, they did. Nothing like that could ever happen in America, right? Could it? I mean, nothing. No, that would never happen to us. And yet I'm telling you today, under the five cycles of discipline and under the most intense cycle of discipline, once a nation is conquered, once the enemy comes into the land, you will not believe what people would do to survive. These five cycles of discipline are taught, as I said, in Leviticus. Each one is worse than the next in their five stages. Reading from Leviticus 26, verse 14. If you will not listen to me and will not do all of these mandates, and if you despise my word or my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so that you will not do my mandates, and you break the covenants that I have with you, then I will do this unto you. And you can read it for yourself. You can read from verse 16 all the way through verse 39. You can see how each cycle of discipline compounds the problems before, so that it just intensifies, and all of them are designed to get our attention. As a priest nation, God has a way of getting our attention. It's called discipline. And when natural disasters happen, when God allows the weather angels to pull back the protective shield, when invasions from foreign enemies happen, these are simply God's way of getting your attention. What is God going to have to do to get you to wake up? What is going to have to happen before you begin to take your spiritual life seriously? The Bible very clearly says, 2 Chronicles 7, if my people that are called by my name, that's Christians, that's you and I, if we will humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear our prayer and he will heal our land. Humble ourselves is the first mandate. You want to be humbled? Lose everything you have. Lose your wife. Lose your child. Lose your family. It'll humble you. The biggest problem in the United States of America today is arrogance. We are so arrogant because we do not believe that anything can touch us. And yet every day you look in the newspaper and you say, oh my gosh, what is gas going to cost me? $3 a gallon? I have been warning teenagers about this for 20 years. I've been telling teenagers for years, you better wake up. If we were to put on the board a graphic chart that charted the trends of history, you could see on this chart that we're in a downtrend. Spiritually, socially, economically, politically. If you take those four things into consideration in the trends of history, we are in serious trouble. I'm not interpreting the Bible in light of current events. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's a very dangerous thing to say, well, look, this happened, and this is what the Bible says, so this is why this happened. I'm interpreting the Bible from the trends of history. Politically, it's hard to find a politician with integrity today. Spiritually, well, there are churches on every street corner. So what's wrong? Mostly ritual without reality. What about economics? Well, we're facing economic disaster. Most of you that are listening to me are old enough to remember when gas was only 25 cents a gallon. Now here it is, $3. Most of you remember when a new house was in the mid-30s, $30,000, not $130,000. It hasn't dawned on people. They haven't awakened yet and realized that in the future they won't be able to afford a gallon of gas. They won't be able to afford a new automobile that's going to cost them $50,000. They won't be able to afford a house that's going to cost them $300,000. They won't be able to make the payments. Economically, we're in big trouble. Spiritually, economically, politically, socially. What about the trends of history socially? One out of every two marriages ends in divorce. Venereal disease rampant. Unwed pregnancies rampant. Social problems, racial problems. What does it take to wake you up? What does it take to make you realize you're about to lose everything you love and cherish If it were not for the grace of God, it would all be gone already in the Second World War. We were delivered by the grace of God. What is it going to take to cause you to remember that we need deliverance today? If my people will humble themselves, that means to admit your sin. That means to admit your failure. You want to help in this disaster? You want to send money? You want to go down and do something? Help this way. Get on your knees and admit to God that you're a sinner. Admit to God that you have rejected His plan for your life, that you've been arrogant, that you have done things your way for so long. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you grown spiritually? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. You ought to be a teacher. In Hebrews chapter 5, he said, look, you've been saved a long time. You ought to be teaching other people. But instead, you have to go back to where someone has to teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. And you're like a baby that needs a bottle. And many of you that I'm talking to have been saved for years, and yet you've never grown spiritually. And you're not even able to assess why these things happen without losing your temper and getting mad and getting angry because it's going to cost you more money now to buy gas or it's going to cost you this or that. That's not what it was about. God is trying to get your attention. You're about to lose everything you hold dear. Natural disasters will continue. Wars will continue. And there will be a point in time when we will not be able to recover. It will come sooner or later until you humble yourself and seek God's face. You want to help? Get on your knees and admit your sin to God. Admit you've been arrogant. Get into a local church where the Word of God is taught and honored and grow. Quit playing games. You don't go to church to sing. You go to church to learn. Singing is fine. Listen, when you start paying more attention to the singing than the learning, you're in the wrong church for the wrong reason. If your church spends more time singing than they do teaching, you better find another church. Find a church that teaches the Word of God. Find a church where you can take your Bible and a notebook and write down the promises and the provisions and the principles of the Word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, God said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Not because they weren't singing, their lack of knowledge. You must learn how to execute the Word of God. You must learn that a right thing has to be done in a right way, or God will continue to get your attention. What is it going to take for you to wake up? What is it you're going to have to go through all five cycles of discipline until we're eventually occupied by our foreign enemy? Till we're eventually destroyed? Sometimes people say, where's the United States of America in biblical prophecy? It's not there. It's not there. There's nothing about us in biblical prophecy. Other great nations have come and gone, such as the Roman Empire. Could we come and go? Absolutely. You may be in the generation that's on the way out now. Take your spiritual life seriously. You can turn it around. You can change the course of history. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes God's blessing on this country. It doesn't take everybody in America. It just takes you. It takes you getting real with God and admitting your sin and humbling yourself and seeking His face. That means to go into the Word of God and study. That means to get on your knees and pray and to ask for God's help. Ask for God's guidance and deliverance. It is not too late to change things in this country. It is my prayer that you will stay tuned to the Flatline. You will continue to listen to the information that I teach, that you might have the opportunity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer these things in His name. Amen.
You've been listening to The Flatline with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Flatline with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.